Ooh. What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back. We back yet again. I get the same raggedy voice I had on the last episode of Verbal Cardio because it's the same because I did back-to-back episodes. Y'all don't need to know that. Y'all don't need to know that, man. I'm tired. I am tired. Exhausted vocally. But you know what? But here we are, man. We back. It's another glorious, glorious episode. It's another glorious day, man. I asked on my Instagram a few days ago, like, what was the first thing you said out loud? And some people said, thank you, Lord, or they prayed, or I'm thankful for another day. And I was just like, that's what's up, man. They woke up with gratitude right off the rip, man. And we should all be grateful, man. I have friends that have lost, I got a friend that just lost her father and her dog in close proximity. We losing people all the time. And, you know, it's a blessing to share life with your loved ones. And you are a blessing to somebody else because you're still here. So just be mindful of that. Just be grateful. Just, you know, that gratitude. Even if you're not happy with where you're at, even if you're frustrated, you're struggling with whatever, there's still value in you because, for one, you know, to still be among the living, that's a blessing right there, regardless of our trials, because our trials won't be the permanent situation. And two is that you really mean something to somebody else. Like, you are making somebody else's life and day better just by existing, just by being there, just by being yourself, and just by still being alive. So, you know, gratitude, man. You know what I mean? Gratitude. Regardless of, because we all go through our things mentally. And, like, even for me, like, you know, I was really feeling like, I was feeling down and confused and unsteady and just like worried about various things. Even amongst the blessings, I would still worry and just be like, I don't know. Like, you know, we worry, we stress, and I was falling into that. So when I did a weekend at the La Jolla Comedy Store, I did 5 shows as a headliner. That really made me feel better. It really gave me a spark because I was falling into a place where I was feeling uncertain about my comedy, even though I was still doing local shows and, you know, the Ball Brothers show and Tony Bacon Friends, and I'm still doing sets at the Factory. I was still feeling kind of like stagnant, you know, comedically, and also worried about the future. Are people from outside of LA, are they going to show up? Are they going to buy tickets? Are they going to come see me live? I didn't know. And then I was getting into a rhythm of feeling like I didn't want to work, or I didn't want to do this, or I didn't want to do that. I just want to stay in the house. I just want to be at home. But then when I got back on the road and I did those 5 shows out there, I got back into the rhythm of, all right, we on the road. We got shows tonight. We got 2 shows tonight, 2 shows tomorrow. Here's the situation. Let's get the merch going. Let's get the rhythm going. And then I'm working new material, and I'm working on different things and throwing those in there. And people showed up. So I needed that jolt. But, you know, before that, I was stressed. Like, you know, I was stressed and down and uncertain and confused and, like, you know, really, really kind of withdrawing into myself. I don't know if y'all even picked up on that. I don't even know if you noticed it. But because I was still doing things, I was still going out and doing my shows. I would show up to like a game night here and there, and I would play video games with Shan and my brother and them. As like that was like my social battery still having a pulse. But like, you know, when you see me on Call of Duty with Scott and Shan and Meesh and Shift and Gabe and Reg and TC. That's my social battery still having a pulse, still giving me, like, you know, my interactions, because I'm not really talking on the phone. I'm not really going on dates. I'm not really, you know, doing this other stuff. And I'm still pulsing for the people that I'm close to and like the people that I bonded with. But at the same time, you know, it takes me forever to get out of bed in the morning. I'm still hiding from certain hangouts. I'm still like, you know, I don't know if I really want to come out. And so turning into like a hermit, if you will, and then stressing about the house purchase and like, why did I buy a house when I'm losing income? Like, because I'm not on tour. I don't have the same income that I had before. Why would I buy a house when I'm on a year break? Like, why did I do that? And I'm in my head about that. And I'm just like, and then if I get back on the road, will people show up? Can I afford this? Did I do too much? Did I bite off more than I can chew? And I'm just going through all of this in my mind. And so that particular weekend really, really recharged my battery. And then just worried about the numbers and Instagram stressing me out. Are they going to take my page? Like, how do I navigate this? And are people really pulling up to the podcast? Is the podcast growing? It's just like, just stress. And then the whole thing with Dapper and then, you know, all of these different things. And so I was talking to Kev. I was just like, how did it feel, Tone? Like, how did it feel to be back on the road, back in your element? And I was like, it felt fantastic. And I figured out what I did wrong. I feel like I took too big of a hiatus. That's what it was. I needed to sit down, but I don't think I needed to sit down as long as I did. And I think it messed up my whole equilibrium. Because I feel like I took too long of a break. Because I am a workhorse. Like, I love doing stand-up comedy. I love this shit. I dove back into it after I lost Serene. I dove back into it because, honestly, I needed it. Because it brings me joy to make people laugh. That's the best feeling in the world, when I can make people laugh, make people enjoy themselves. And so even though I dove back in shortly after Serene passed, it helped me tremendously to get through the loss. But I made sure I was mindful enough to make sure that I wasn't running from my grief. I wanted to make sure that I sat in it, sat still, took it in, took the waves, took the grief, quieted the noise. And I wanted to make sure I did that too. I wanted to make sure I honored my feelings. And so I was like, let me sit down. And I sat down in 2023 for 2 months. That was my grief sit down. And then I got back to work and then I did that. And then I sat down again this year. And then I feel like I sat down for too long. And so now I was getting into like a funk, or like a rut, if you will. And then I was feeling like I wasn't doing enough. And so now, with a weekend like that, I felt like I was back in my work bag. And I was back to giving the energy that I like to feel. Like it's a give and take with me. Like, I make you laugh, you laugh, I'm getting that energy back. So it's a beautiful exchange of good energy. Like, I'm making you laugh, and your laugh is giving me the fuel that I need. So it's a double whammy. So to be back in that space, like, for real, like, I'm up there for an hour each show doing it for real, not just hosting and not just doing a quick set. This is where I'm supposed to be. So now I'm recharged. I needed it, man. So I appreciate the people of San Diego and La Jolla that showed up and made it a tremendously successful weekend. Everybody that bought merch, and everybody that laughed and wiped a tear from laughter. That was the energy I needed. And I want to say this to comedians. Comedians, when you book comedians on a show, lead with the price. Lead with the pay. Lead with the compensation. I feel like I said this before on Verbal Cardio, but I just want to reiterate. When you book any comedian for your show, lead with the compensation or lack thereof. Off the top. A comedian should never have to ask, what's the pay? You should already, if you already reached out to them that you want them to do a show, lead with the bread. I can't stress that enough. I don't want to have to ask how much you're paying. I should already have that information as soon as you rolled up. Because when I book comedians for my show, I lead with the pay. I'd be like, yo, man, can you do my show such and such, this amount of money for this amount of time? Boom. Done. You ain't got to worry about, well, how much does it pay? Because the comedians are out here, you know, they don't want to ask. It's uncomfortable for some people to ask how much. It's uncomfortable for certain people to ask about compensation. Because, you know, they don't want to be labeled a certain way. But they shouldn't have to ask. If you're doing the booking, lead with that compensation. Because we all want to get paid. We all want to make money. And if it's a free show, if it's like a show with no compensation, lead with that. Hey, got a show. There's no pay. Boom, 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 boom. And let them decide on if they want to do the show. But don't have them out here thinking it's one thing and it's not. So comedians, when you booking your comedians, and not even comedians, producers, whatever, if you book comedy shows, if you book comedians, if you want to ask if a comedian can do your event or whatever, lead with the compensation. And have your budget and your compensation together. Give a number. Throw a number out there. Even if you don't know, I don't know what your rate is, throw something at me. Throw something at me and then we'll go from there. But always come in with that compensation. That's what we doing out here, man. You know what I'm talking about? But forget all that. Speaking of compensation, man, let's get these bills paid. Let's get these bills paid, shouting. What I just told you could be considered like some masterclass tips on how to book comedians, how to properly book comedians for whatever shows that you might be doing out here. Masterclass has stuff like this where you get real insight, information, how people move in various elements of whether it be, you know, wellness, writing, science and tech, music, home and lifestyle, food, design and style, community and government, business, arts and entertainment. Masterclass is something that you should really check out. It might spark ideas. It might spark motivations. It might give you insights from some of the best to ever do it. Masterclass is something I feel like we can all benefit from because you are learning from the best of the best, man. The best of the best. It's a gift that keeps on giving, man. With Masterclass, your loved ones, if you want to get it as a gift, your loved ones can learn from the best to become their best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. That's why Wirecutter calls it an invaluable gift. Gift unlimited learning. That's what you can do this year. Learn from any Masterclass instructor anywhere on a smartphone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. And when I say it's the best of the best, let me just list off some of the people that you can learn from, man. You can learn from Steph Curry on shooting, ball handling, and scoring. Serena Williams teaching you tennis, bro. You know what I mean? Gordon Ramsay on cooking. Gordon Ramsay? Roy Choi? You know what I mean? People that are really in these streets. And Gordon Ramsay got more than one masterclass. He got cooking one and cooking two. So he really in these streets. Breakfast all day? That's a masterclass? Oh, yeah. Breakfast all day? You got musicians in here at prime time. You got Alicia Keys on songwriting and producing. You got Questlove on music curation and DJing. You got Ringo Starr on drumming and creative collaboration. Ringo Starr, yo. You got Nas on hip-hop storytelling, man. You got Herbie Hancock on jazz. You got Carlos Santana on the art and soul of guitar. You got Usher on the art of performances. You got Mariah Carey on the voice as an instrument. You got Reba McEntire on country music. You got Sheila E. on drumming and percussion. Come on, man. This ain't no Rudy Poot lineup right here. You got Bill Nye on science and problem solving. You got Neil deGrasse Tyson on scientific thinking and communication. Let me tell you something, man. These lineups are crazy. These lineups are crazy, man. You'd be crazy just not to get in on this. This is great stuff to just have playing in the background or just something that you put on as you go to sleep or something that you watch in the morning. RuPaul on self-expression and authenticity. You know what I mean? So you got so many dope options, man. And then you could just tap into worlds that you never even thought you were interested in. And then boom, he's like, yo, I'm really feeling this right here. So Masterclass, man, get in on it, man. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays and sometimes up to as much as 50% off. So head over to masterclass.com/verbal for the current offer. So once you head over there, you can get the current offer on what they have. Masterclass.com/verbal for the current offer. That's up to. It may not be, but it's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/verbal. Again, that's masterclass.com/verbal, man. Get in on that, man. It's a good time. So yeah, outside of just like giving the comedians those notes, and I feel like this too. I'm a good comedian. You know, when I headline, I take other comedians on the road, and I feel like if the comedians that I take on the road are in committed or like they're married or whatever, I feel like I'm a good comedian to roll with because I don't do much on the road. I am the comedian your wife or your husband would want them to be with me on the road because I don't do much. I don't be going out to the club after. I don't be going to the bar after. I keep it simple. I be working out. I look for food. We go to the comedy club. That's it, man. All that hanging out at the bar. And then let's say I am hanging out with women on the road. I don't require you to come with me. Like, yo, come with me to keep her girl at bay. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go by myself, man. I need somebody with me as a buffer. None of that, man. Now, I will admit, certain cities, we'll hit up the strip club. We'll hit up the strip club. You know what I'm saying? Because the strip club is a good time. It's fun to me. Like, the strip club is a good time. But that's not every city. It's just like every now and then, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna hit the strip club. But that's about it. In the strip club, I feel like the strip club is a safe environment. Even though this sounds ridiculous to say, that the strip club is a safe environment. But I really feel like it's more professional than you realize. It's way more professional than going to some bar or some club and you meeting the women there that are willing to give you the panties. You know what I'm saying? If y'all vibing a little too much, they'd be like, yo, let's get it in tonight. And you're like, oh. But I feel like at the strip club, these are professional dancers. They at work. Yeah, you're going to see ass and titties, but let me tell you something. I'm at work, boo. I'm at work. All of this ain't even real, boo. This ain't even real. I know it seemed like I might be feeling you, but I'm not really feeling you. I'm just trying to get more money. I'm just trying to get more money, boo. That's all this is. It's all business. It's all business. Relax yourself. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get on your good side so I can get this paper. That's all it is. Don't get beside yourself. I'm just trying to get that good paper. And then if you do too much, security like, hey, man, you're doing too much. Oh, my bad. It's structured. But again, like, you know, I don't go to the strip club every city we go to. We just, every now and then, we be like, you know what, man, let's just go. We in Miami. We in, you know, we in Atlanta, whatever. Let's just hit it. You know, so I feel like, you know, if the comedian's going to run, they got a wife, they be like, yeah, you can roll with Tone, man. Tone, he don't be doing too much. I ain't the type to be like, yo, invite the girls to the green room. Invite the girls to the green room, yeah. Mm. Hey, gather up all the cuties from the show. Bring them to the green room. Let them backstage. That's not me. That ain't me, man. Watch out. I don't be on that type of time, man. Get the cute ones, round them up, bring them backstage. Nah, man. Let's wrap this show up. Let's sell this merch. Let's get the hell out of Dodge. Let's head back to the hotel, or let's go get some food. Let's go to White Castle. Let's go to, you know, late night pizza spot. That's about it. Occasionally, we might, like I said, we might step out just because, like in D.C., I think in D.C., because there's money to be made if you're a big enough name, there's money to be made by just going to a nightclub and just showing face. Or like if you kind of want to see, like in D.C., I think we hit the streets in D.C., and we ended up, because we were in walking distance from the club strip, where there's just like a whole bunch of clubs on one street. We were in walking distance of that, so we kind of walked out there. The initial plan was food. He was like, all right, you're going to go, we're going to walk out there, get the food, and then, you know, and we're going to see what's going on. So we ended up going into a couple clubs. They're like, yo, this is Tony Baker, right? Oh, Tony Baker, man, come on in. And he was like, oh, okay. And then we went in. And then it was like, for me, clubs are too packed, too crowded. So I just walk in and walk out. I'll be like, oh, okay. All right. And then I leave. Like, the club ain't for me. I have outgrown the club in my 20s. Like, it just be too many people in there. Now, if they had a game night strip, oh, I'd be strung out on game nights. If they had a game night strip, we're just like different game nights going on all along the street. I'm out all night. I'm out till 5 in the morning. Man, Tony Wild, man, he be in them game nights. But that ain't a real thing. So I'll be like, all right, there's too many people in there. The music is loud. It's hot. It's sweaty. People just close. I'm yelling. I already got a bad right ear. I don't need to be, huh? What was that you said? Oh, yeah, uh-huh, yep. Ain't nobody got time for that. So we go on our little food missions. We might check out the scene. And I like being outside. Like, if I'm gonna be in the clubs, I'd rather for it to be a club strip and I can just be outside. I'd rather mingle with people outside. That's my flavor. Call it parking lot pimping, call it whatever. I call it outside. That's when I'm comfortable. There's space. I can hear what you're saying. There's room. It's not claustrophobic. I'm outside on the sidewalk. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Go in there. And then I'm just still standing outside, working the crowd. Sidewalk strolling. That's me without the prostitution. And then it comes back to the food. But the thing about me, too, on the food tip, I turn my clock off early. By 9 p.m., I'm not eating no more. So by the time the second show is over, I'm only in the food streets for my comedians. I'm only out there for them. Cause I start fasting at like 9, 10 if I'm stretching it. I'm not eating past 10. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm low maintenance, man. I'm low maintenance on the road. Safe out here. So there was a video that somebody posted of a Uber driver was driving the man. He was dropping the man off, and before the man gets out the car, the man offers him head. He's like, "All right, here you go." He was sliding out the car. He was like, "You want some head?" He's like, "What? You want some head?" And the driver was like, "Nah, man, nah, I'm good." He's like, "All right." I can only imagine what some of these Uber drivers go through. You know what I mean? Like, to get offered head, you dropping somebody off, you want some head? Just get out. Just get the fuck out. Get out the car, bro. Get out the car. What are we doing with ourselves? What's happening here? What's going on in your life that you got to offer the Uber driver some head? Like, what are we doing? You're better than this. You're better than this, man. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to do this. You don't have to get down like this. Chance said, "Let me see your teeth and tongue before I turn it down." Hilarious. But I'm just like, yo, that's mad wild. You know, because we always think about like the Uber, what if the Uber driver is dangerous? No, more importantly, what if the passengers are dangerous? You don't know who getting in that car. You don't know who getting in the back. And that would have me on pins and needles. I don't know who I'm driving around. And that's the scary part. Because y'all got to remember, y'all probably don't remember you never knew I told you, but, you know, I was exposed to murder when I was a kid when the cab driver got shot in the back of the head in front of our house in Chicago. And so for me, that was very eye-opening as to how vulnerable taxi drivers, bus drivers, you know, are. You know what I'm saying? He's just dropping somebody off. He gets murdered. He walked around. He got shot in the back of the head, and he walked around the corner to the, there's like a little restaurant over there around the corner across the street from our townhouse, and he died over there. So, you know, we see the blood on the sidewalk. You know, I saw a dude's feet running back towards Stateway Projects. So that was very eye-opening for me as a kid. You know, I was probably like second, third grade. This man was murdered right here. We heard the gunshot. I looked through the mail slot. And so at this early age, I'm exposed to like real murder close. So I'm just like, yo, man. Because for a second there, I was like, yo, cab drivers seem to make good money. Because my mom had a friend. His name was Fred Hubbard. And he was a cab driver. He drove cabs throughout the city of Chicago. And he would always give me money. Like, he would just give me money. And I'd just be like, yo, cab driving seemed like the move. You know what I mean? And I remember, like, every time I got in cabs, it was a certain smell. It was the smell of, like, leather. It was like a smell that cabs had. And I was like, smells like a cab in here. Like, that smell was very pronounced. And it was exclusive to taxi cabs. And I just remember that scent very, very, very clearly. And I was like, yo, Fred always give me money. He was like, yo, if you get good grades, I'm gonna give you $20 for every good grade. And I was like, yo, Fred get money. And I don't know if he was trying to holler at my mom. I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to look good for Sandy Baker. I don't know. That wasn't my business. But I just knew Fred was cool and he had that bread. And so I was like, Milford, I was like, man, cab drivers. And then, you know, once you get exposed to the murder of a cab driver, which is extremely sad, that really opened my eyes to like how dangerous it is to just be riding with strangers, riding with people off the streets. Yeah, we got apps now, we got locations or whatever, but you still at risk. So now it's the double risk of like, you getting in the car, like, can I trust this driver? Because some of the drivers get inappropriate. But more so than not, the danger's on the other side of it. The passenger, I feel like, is more dangerous. So it's like, what the hell's going on? So that was crazy that he got offered head. I was like, you want some head? Get out. He did better than I've been. Like, man, get your ass out the whip, dog. Get your ass out the whip. Get on up out of here. We ain't doing this, man. I'm just trying to drop you off, man. Don't be offering me head. And I ain't never been a headhunter like that. I'm like, what? Just, nah, man, I'm good. And plus, I don't know you like that. Do you know I am Paperwork McGee? For one, you're a man, so I don't even think I would rise to the occasion. But the scary part is, what if I did rise to the occasion? What if I did? Well, you're a man, so I'm like, ew, off the top. A man's mouth on me? Ew. Watch out. But just like, I'm Paperwork McGee. I am Paperwork McGee. And so you're going to be offering me head. I'm like, I need to see that paperwork. That guy. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That was just a wild visual to see. I was just like, yo, this is crazy out here. But, you know, I got bills to pay. Are you guys looking for the perfect buzz without the hangover? Is that something that interests you? The perfect buzz, no hangover? You want to be Buzz Lightyear, no hangover on the back end? Brez is next-gen social tonics are the evolution of drinking. They use a unique blend of hemp-derived THC, CBD, and lion's mane mushrooms to create a euphoric, calming, and inspiring effect unlike anything you've ever tried. And when I say Brez, B-R-E-Z, I know what you're thinking. And no, this isn't like an edible. It kicks in around 10 minutes after your first sip and lasts about an hour and a half, just like your favorite cocktail. It's subtle enough for mom to try, but stackable to create your ideal experience. This sparkling blend of crafted with notes of Italian lemon and edelflower is only 30 calories, contains 8 grams of natural sugar from agave, and uses organic ingredients, making it the perfect guilt-free beverage. Brez is 100% legal and ships all across the continental U.S. Just use the code VERBAL at drinkbrez.com to claim $10 store credit toward your first order. Skip the hangover and enjoy louder laughs, brighter colors, and tastier snacks with Brez. I want to try Brez. I want to try it. You know, it's vegan. It's non-GMO. 8 grams of natural sugar. You know, because even though I don't be drinking like that, I drink like 3 times a year. Sometimes I'll be wanting a good buzz. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. When I'm at the perfect buzz, that's a good time. That's a good time for me. Like when I am Buzz Lightyear, like when I was at the wedding renewal in Cabo, I was Buzz Lightyear. I was Buzz Aldrin. And I felt good. I was like, man, you know what I'm saying? I haven't drank since then, so that was like June. But when I decide to, like, you know what, I'm going to let loose a little bit and I'm going to get my Buzz Lightyear, my Buzz Aldrin. I'm going to get my Buzz from Home Alone. You know what I'm saying? It felt good. Like, I had tequila until they ran out. And then I think I had, like, what was that last drink I had? Was it bourbon? Oh, maybe I was drinking bourbon and then I did a tequila joint. I can't remember. Vice versa, it was one of those switch ups. But when they ran out of something, I got the other thing. And I was just like, I was feeling good, feeling great. I had on a suit. I was loose. No, Jesse, when I was in the pool, I was sober. The pool video, I ain't even touched no drinks. When I drank is when I had the suit on. Yeah, that's what that was. I drank the night of the wedding. So yeah, when you saw me eating fruit by the pool, I was sober, regular McGee. That was all me, all Tony, no additives. Just me eating pineapple by the pool. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, so bread sounds like something I might try. I like the stats on it. To see what it feels like. Because sometimes, you know what I'm saying, I like that feeling. Especially with no hangover, man, you know what I'm saying? Sign me up, man. Sign me up, dog. Throw me up in the mix. Throw me up in the mix. Yeah, them pineapples was going hard in the paint. It was something that I wanted to talk to y'all about, but I'm trying to remember what the hell it was. Y'all know what's funny? I just want to throw this out there real quick. It's funny to me. It's funny when women have braids and they take them out. When a woman takes the braids out or down, they disappear for a while. Like, you know, whenever Sabrina would be taking her braids out, or whenever you just notice it, like, women go missing when they got to take them braids out. They go missing for a long time. If you talking to a girl, she got braids, and then she taking them out, you won't hear from her the same. You might hear from her, hey, I'm doing good, and then she gone. Normally it'd be like a nice little exchange. Nah, she missing in action. I'm like, damn, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? And then you see they've been taking the braids out. The only thing women can do in that moment when they taking the braids out is to have something on the TV, whether it be a binge, whether it be Law and Order's back to back, whether it be something, and they be working on that head for hours. So fellas, when the girl you talking to or your girl or whoever goes missing, it's not you, everything is cool, fear not. She's just taking them goddamn braids out. That's all that is, man. That's all. That's an all-day process. People be like, man, I ain't heard from a man. They be on milk cartons. They be putting posters up. Have y'all seen this girl? She gone, y'all. She missing in action. She on CNN. A missing woman, everybody looking. She gone, girl. That's what Gone Girl was really about. The girl taking her braids out. And then she came back to Ben Affleck like, what? I was just taking my braids out. Oh, man. They thought I murdered you. Nah, what? I was taking the braids out. I told you I was taking the braids out. They turn their phone off. The phone be face down. Messages coming in. They're like, I ain't got time. Just going to have to get with me later. You know what I'm saying? Gone. Women be out of here when they taking them braids out. Gone. Gone. Gone, girl. Gone, girl. Do-do-do-do-do. Gone. Gone, girl. Gone, girl. Gone, gone, girl. out of here, man. Shout out to the women just taking braids out for 40 hours. Meanwhile, we stress. The kids are in shambles. It's going down. It's going down. They'll be cute after. You know what I'm saying? They'll be cute after. It's just a limited time. But they be disappearing, though. Trust and believe. Trust and believe, man. Y'all got anything y'all want me to touch on? Y'all got anything that's on your heart that you want me to touch on ever so gently? Jay Thomas asks, what's your Mount Rushmore of superhero villain rivalries? Okay. Mount Rushmore. Superhero villain rivalries. All right, this is any order. This is just four. Magneto and the X-Men. Batman and Joker. Spider-Man and Venom. Thanos and everybody. That's my Mount Rushmore. That right there is my Mount Rushmore superhero villains. You feel me? When is your birthday party, Shan? That Mount Rushmore was quick and easy. I can clip that. Misha, you got me on the clips this week? I forgot to ask you. It doesn't exist, but 2025 tour schedule release. So here are the dates I have so far. So for January, we're looking at, I'll be in Pleasanton, California in January. I just gave the approval for this. Wait, let me find the text message. Hold on. Okay. So January 17th through the 19th, I'll be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton. January 31st through February 1st, I will be at Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. The last weekend in February, bleeding into March, I will be at the Miami Improv. And that following weekend in March, I think it's March. Wait, let me look. Let me get it together. So I will be in. I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona at Stand Up Live, March 7th through the 9th. So we got Phoenix, March 7th through the 9th. Miami, February 28th through March 2nd. And I got Sacramento and Pleasanton. That's what I got so far. Oh, Tamara, did I talk about Shaq's comments to Angel Reese about how to get more viewership to the NBA? I saw that. It was awkward because clearly Angel didn't want to dabble in those waters on the conversation tip, talking about, if you're not familiar with what happened, he was saying like, yo, you should be advertising those shorts you had on, you know, because Angel Reese had on some short shorts when she was out somewhere in public, and Shaq just kept pushing the issue, and she was like, cut that. And so it got a little awkward. So people, of course, had their response. And people, here's what pissed me off. People was like, well, she shouldn't have wore the shorts then. She shouldn't have wore that shorts then. She shouldn't have wore the shorts. And shut up with that, man. When a woman is uncomfortable talking about something as far as what she's wearing, cut it off. And women have the right, if they want to wear short shorts, they can. If you cross a line because of the wardrobe, they have a right to shut that down, right? You are not entitled to a woman's body just because they are wearing a certain thing. Yeah, it's going to breathe. Like, yeah, we're going to be looking at you. We're going to be looking at the cheeks or whatever. You can look. You look, because I'm wearing it. I'm outside. Go ahead and look. But don't be creepy. Don't be out of line. That's all you got to do. Just be respectful. Just be like, I see you. You look good in them shorts. Boom, done. How hard is that? Can you not control your mouth? Can you not control what you say? Somebody was saying on the political tip how Tony Hinchcliffe made those offensive jokes in New York about the people of Puerto Rico. And somebody wanted to compare that to Meg Thee Stallion twerking at the convention. How are those two even remotely the same? Like, you really reaching to compare Meg Thee Stallion twerking to Tony Hinchcliffe insulting an entire population of people? Not even the fucking same. Not even close. What are we doing? What are we talking about here? What's happening? What the hell is going on? Don't even try it. How is twerking offensive? If you don't want to see booties twerk, oh, hey, I don't want to see this right now. Okay. Okay, you're tired. Look away. That twerk is not insulting your heritage. It's not insulting your family. It's not insulting your friends. It's just you don't want to see the booty cheeks. Okay, look away real quick. She's not going to be twerking for long. And it's just something that an individual did. She's not talking about you personally. She's not talking about your beliefs. She's not talking about your family setup. She's not talking about your wages. None of that. She just shaking that ass. And for me, man, sometimes I need some ass shaked. Sometimes I need some ass shaking. Just to level out my blood pressure, man. Just to calm me down. If somebody says something highly offensive, I'm be like, man, let me tell you something right here. Man, that's some good twerking. Let me tell you something right here, right now. That's going to bring me down a notch. It's going to bring me down a few degrees in calmness. And in this political food fight that we in, man, the twerking is just going to calm everybody down. It should. I would think it would calm people down. How angry can you be when Meg Thee Stallion is twerking? You'd be like, man, I'm sick. You know what? I'm sick of what you're talking about. You see the difference there? But twerking is by no means anywhere close to insulting a whole population of people, man. Let's cut the fucking shit. Cut it out. Cut it out. Anyway, I got more bills to pay, yo. Got more bills to pay. Speaking of paying the bills. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earn In. All right? Earn In. That's what they want you to do. They want you to earn in on the money that you've already got brewing and percolating. All right? Earn In is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You feel me? Now, just download the Earn In app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Right? Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. All right? Whether it be a special night out, last minute gift for a loved one, unexpected trip to the vet, which I personally connected to, upcoming rent, new dress, school clothes, shoes, whatever may come up, and you ain't got time to be waiting till the 15th. Earning has got your back, man. Make Earn In part of your financial routine and join Earn In's over 3.5 million customers who say things like,
when I think about earning, I think about financial stability, security. Man, let me tell you something right here, right now. It gives me a lot of peace of mind out here. You feel me?
Earn In, man. So download Earn In today, spell E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store, right? When you download the Earn In app, type in Verbal Cardio under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Verbal Cardio under podcast. Don't forget that part. Verbal Cardio under podcast, okay? Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Now remember, Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Man, I'm so mad that Earnin is around now. Where was you at when I needed you? Earnin, where was you at when I needed you? I needed you when I was at Dairy Queen and in Mersh. I needed every morsel of that early bread. You kidding me? You kidding me? Cian says, I really tried to come to your show this weekend in San Diego, but my schedule was trash, so I'm glad it sold out. I will be at the Phoenix show for sure. Already purchased my tickets. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about, show. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm always willing to meet the patron saints. For sure. Okay, here's a question on this or that from Eshore Sachs. Tony, would you rather live as you are in the MCU or Transformers/Hasbro world? I would rather live as I am in the MCU, man. Them Transformers cities be getting demolished. I wouldn't want to be in the Transformers world or a Godzilla King Kong world. They just be tearing, and they only fight in big cities, apparently. They only fight in the biggest of cities. Everything always goes down in the big city. They need to start having small town fights, man. Like in that first Thor movie, remember Thor, the first one? They was in a small town, you know? And let's be real, most of the country ain't big cities, man. Have some fights in them offshoot towns, man. What's going on? You going to work, man. You in the office, you in your cubicle, and then just Godzilla's tail just comes through and wipes out your whole floor. Everybody you've been working with for 5 years is dead. It was just a Godzilla tale because he got socked out. That's crazy work. DJ's Travels asks, how many dates in should you ask if you should still be accepting dates with other guys? I feel like this. I look at dating like this. And I know not everybody agrees about how I move in the dating space or whatever, or like my views on relationships, whatever the case may be. But I feel like you should always be open and honest. If you're dating other people, you should always be open and honest about that. If you just out here, yo, you're not the only person I'm seeing, be open and honest about that from the gate, from the jump. You know, when you're interested in somebody, tell them right away, hey, you know, I'm interested in you. I like you, but I'm also, you know, dating other women or dating other men, and just be real about that and let people make their own decision. Some people, they be on some, I'm interested in you. I'm dating you. That's it. We're exclusive. I'm exclusive to you already. And some people are like, no, I'm keeping my options open until I reach a point where it's like, all right, now it's only you. Both ways are fair. You know, if you want to just do only have eyes for that person, that's fair. But just know that that same person might not be on your same wavelength when it comes to that. So you got to make sure if you want them to only be focused on you, you have to express that and be like, I'm not comfortable with you dating other people while we're dating. And so you give them the option to either cut the other people off or, you know, they'd be like, no, I'm not really willing to do that. And then you can move accordingly based on how they responded. Communication is fucking gold that y'all don't want to harness. Y'all are scared of. Y'all are scared to really communicate and call stuff what it is because you're scared about losing that other person for whatever reason. Whether it's somebody you just want to smash or somebody you're really interested in, you're so scared to lose that person that you're willing to deceive or tuck stuff under the rug or act like you're something that you're not. So, you know, the move is just being straight up. Like, yo, man, I like you. I'm attracted to you. But I'm also out here. And, you know, I'm out here talking to other women. I've done that. I've been that guy that was like, yo, I like you, but I'm also talking to other women. And so you put the ball back in their court by being honest, by being like real and just like transparent and just like, yo, it's not just you. And so you give them the option. We'll be like, all right, well, I can still rock with that, but we won't be having sex because if you're out there with other women, I'd rather not have sex with you. And that's fair too. So you just got to give people the option to know what's going on. And then boom, pow. So to answer your question, I don't know about how many days in. It just depends on, you know, where you are before you even go on the date, or like right after the first date, just let them know, hey, I'm seeing other people, you know, I'm dating other people, I'm dating around. Because some people like to put all their dating eggs in one basket, a person at a time, and then you find out, oh, this ain't the one. So now you got to grab all your eggs out that basket and then pour all your eggs into somebody else. And then that didn't work. Instead of just really just letting people prove themselves to you by, you know, to seeing if that person is really the one that you really want to get exclusive with, instead of making every single person exclusive. You know what I mean? And now you done started and stopped how many different times? Instead of just like, you know, going out with this guy one night, going out with another guy another night, seeing what's the real and which one you prefer and which one is winning. And a lot of people are like, I don't want to compete with nobody. You always in competition with somebody. You always in competition with either other people or that person's outlook or their views or their feelings. You in competition with something when in these dating spaces. You know, we're not out here as solo beings. It's not just two people on the planet. When you show interest in somebody, you're not the only two people to ever exist. And when you're in a space of just getting to know people and just starting to date them and like in the early phases, maybe you didn't earn that exclusive shit. You gotta earn this. It's not about competition with other people. You gotta earn. You got to earn a person's trust. You got to earn a person's affections. You got to earn a person's body. And a lot of people just think, oh, exclusiveness is just automatic. No, it ain't. You got to earn that exclusiveness. And so, you know, humble yourselves a little bit out here. I'm not saying settle. I'm not saying degrade yourself in any way. I'm just saying that be humble. Yeah, you are a great catch. You are a dope individual. You do bring a lot to the table. But also be humble because you're dealing with somebody else. Yeah, there's other people that would fall over backwards for you, but clearly you are interested in this person. That's why you want the exclusiveness off the rip. But you still have to earn something on their side as well. They had to earn something with you as well. So keep that in mind. But that's just my take. You don't have to take it from me. Who am I? Who the hell am I? I ain't no dating guru. I could be wrong on this. I don't know, but that's just how I move. You know what I'm saying? You got to earn it. You got to earn it, man. Yeah, man. Some people be moving too fast and just want stuff excluded. I don't want you talking to nobody else. You're going to be talking to me. Well, we're done here. Now, if somebody comes to you and be like, yo, I put all these other women to the side for you, what say ye? That's when you come with the, like, let's say you like a girl or a guy, whoever you into. In my case, it would be a girl. Let's say I like the girl enough to be like, yo, I was talking to these other women, but I'm willing to cut all these women off for you. What say ye? So now I'm offering you the ball. The ball is in your court. You could be like, I like that. Let's move in this space. Or you could be like, I'm not really ready for that. I have to respect that. And be like, all right. I can either keep rocking with you until you feel like you're ready, or I could just be like, well, I'm just go back to the streets. You know? So it just depends. But the underlying, you know, the beat through all of this should be transparency and communication. Whatever you're doing, wherever you at, you should always be like, yo, I'm really liking you, I'm really feeling you, but I am talking to other people. You know what I'm saying? And don't be scared to ask the question. Because not everybody's going to volunteer information. And then you know, if you find out they lying, that lets you know, oh, I'm dealing with a liar. You know what I mean? So anything that's on your heart, ask. And then hopefully you get that true transparency and that true honesty. Anyway, man, let me get the hell up out of here, man. Let me get the hell up out of here, man. I want to shout out my patron saints, man. Y'all are tremendous. I appreciate y'all. I value y'all. I'm glad y'all are here. I care about your hopes and dreams. I want to thank y'all for rocking with me on this episode. And hush, man, hush. Sometimes you just got the hush. Anyway, man, I appreciate y'all. Hope y'all have great weeks, great days, great months, great years, man. I care about you all, man. And thank you for tuning in to another session of that Verbal Cardio.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.